Few figures in medieval history have generated as much fascination, fear, admiration, and controversy as Genghis Khan. To the cities that resisted his armies, he became the embodiment of catastrophe. A conqueror whose horsemen seemed to arrive from nowhere, encircle their enemies with terrifying speed, and leave shattered walls behind them. To the peoples who followed him, however, he was far more than a destroyer. He was the leader who ended decades of tribal warfare, reorganized the fragmented societies of the steppe, rewarded talent over inherited privilege, and created the foundations of the largest contiguous land empire the world would ever know. His life cannot be reduced to a simple legend of conquest. It was shaped by abandonment, hunger, betrayal, political intelligence, military discipline, and an extraordinary ability to understand the strengths and weaknesses of both allies and enemies. The man later known as Genghis Khan was born with the name Temujin, probably around 1162, although the precise year remains uncertain. His birthplace was near the Onon River, in the northeastern regions of the Mongolian steppe. This was a vast landscape of grasslands, mountains, forests, and rivers where survival depended on movement, adaptability, and cooperation. The Mongols were not inhabitants of permanent stone cities. They lived primarily in mobile communities, raising horses, sheep, goats, cattle, and camels. Their homes, known today as jers or yurts, could be dismantled and transported as families moved with their herds in search of seasonal pasture. The steppe was not an empty wilderness. It was a complex political environment inhabited by numerous clans, tribal confederations, and rival peoples. Among them were the Mongols, the Tatars, the Kiryites, the Merkits, the Naimans, and several smaller groups whose alliances frequently shifted. Relationships between these communities could involve marriage, trade, diplomacy, raids, revenge killings, and temporary military coalitions. Loyalty was important, but it was rarely permanent. A leader could rise quickly if he distributed captured livestock and wealth among his followers, yet he could also lose supporters just as rapidly if he appeared weak or failed to reward them adequately. The world of Temujin was therefore one in which politics was deeply personal. A marriage could create an alliance. A stolen herd could provoke a blood feud. The murder of a family member could divide generations. Hospitality and betrayal existed side by side. There was no centralized Mongol state, no unified legal code enforced across the steppe, and no single authority capable of preventing conflict. Power belonged to those who could attract followers, protect them, and demonstrate success in war. Temujin's father, Yesugei, was a respected warrior and minor chieftain of the Borjigin clan. According to tradition, he had participated in raids against rival groups and had captured a Tatar warrior named Temujin Yuch shortly before his son's birth. The child may have been named after this defeated enemy, reflecting a steppe custom of associating a newborn with an important event. Temujin's mother, Hoilin, had herself been abducted by Yesugei from another man, a reminder that marriage alliances and bride kidnappings were woven into the violent political culture of the region. Temujin's early childhood was probably more secure than the legends sometimes suggest. As the son of a recognized leader, he belonged to a family with a place in the social order of the steppe. Yet that security disappeared abruptly when he was still a boy. When Temujin was approximately 9 years old, his father arranged his future marriage to Borte, the daughter of Day Sechen, a leader of the Onjerat people. Temujin was left temporarily with Borte's family, while Yesugei began the journey home. During his travels, however, he encountered members of the Tatars, traditional enemies of his clan.